So I guess the natural question is combining these agents. And can you talk about what we know and what we're trying to figure out?
Right. So the challenge the kidney cancer doctors like myself have, and we have to be careful about our predecessors, because we all grew up in an era of if one is good, two must be better. And that was the basis for which we all started our careers with cytotoxic chemotherapy.
MOP.
And what we don't know yet is whether if one targeted therapy is better, is good, will two targeted therapies be better? So let me give you some examples that were presented at this ASCO meeting. First of all, recognize that it appears that when you combine two anti-angiogenic agents, sunitinib and bevacizumab, sorafenib and bevacizumab, the toxicity associated with those two agents in combination prevents the doses being the same as what you would give them as single agents. Now, we remember this from our cytotoxic days, but remember that those are cytotoxic agents. We want to maintain drug on target as long as possible. So Jeff Sossman gave a presentation, which was a summary of his sorafenib bevacizumab data, and the dose of sorafenib that he could give is 200 milligrams a day, 25% of the usual dose of 400 BID, and only half the dose of bevacizumab, 5 milligrams IV every 2 weeks.
And what was that because of?
It's because of hypertension. It's because of asthenia and fatigue. It's because of dose-limiting hand-foot syndrome. It's an exacerbation of existing toxicities. So the critical thing for the practicing physician, in my view, is not to assume that two drugs are better than one. Now, the one place where we think we can combine two drugs at full doses is mTOR inhibition and angiogenesis inhibition, especially with bevacizumab. So there was a very nice phase one study presented that combined RAD and bevacizumab, and it looks like you can give full doses. The activity looks interesting, but please remember this. We now have to struggle with the same things that prostate cancer and breast cancer have struggled with, and that is we have to prove to the clinical oncologist that combining therapies and the associated potential toxicities is equal to or better than sequencing those agents as monotherapies.
I guess the thinking would be that assuming it's tolerable, what you're looking for is a big bang.
And the big bang in kidney cancer we've not had. So despite the fact that we've approved four drugs with more on the way, the big bang in kidney cancer is something called a complete response. And despite all of our efforts with all of these agents and thousands of patients, complete responses are still pretty fleeting.
But I mean, is that really necessary? And another model would be just keeping the patient from progressing for years and years.
If only that were true.
Is it possible, do you think?
We're not there yet. And the reason for that, I think, is in part, we now know that we can do it for several years, but I'm not sure that the tumor is still not smarter than we are and figures out methods of resistance to grow around our inhibitors. So yes, will we be happy with kidney cancer being labeled a chronic disease where people would live out the rest of their lives or close to it on therapy? Yes. But remember that these drugs still have chronic toxicities. We see patients all the time that come into the office, and I'm sure every oncologist has heard this. You know, the pill looks just like the Tylenol pill that I take out of my bathroom closet, and boy, it's causing me lots of toxicity. I'm not quite comfortable as much as I'd like to be. There are compliance issues with these drugs. So it's still giving targeted therapy that affects the quality of people's lives.